Welcome, my name is Kevin Gianni, host and creator of The Rockathon, which can be found at www.rockathon.com. That's R-A-W-K-A-T-H-O-N.com. I'm going to be your host for this incredible Rockathon interview. Each one of these interviews is special to me because I feel the experts and I really broke down the impersonal walls of being on stage or in public, and we got to their true essence. I can promise that the content you find in these talks are not what you'll find anywhere else, unless you actually sat down with the experts themselves, one-on-one, and asked them your questions. So please grab a pen and piece of paper, get a filtered glass of water, and be prepared to experience the Rockathon firsthand. Please enjoy the show. All right, Mike, I want to welcome you to this program.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me on. Great to be here.
There are some people who may not know who you are, so let's give a quick little introduction, nothing too long, and then we'll rock and roll.
Okay. Well, I'm known as the Health Ranger. I'm the founder and editor of naturalnews.com. I used to be diseased. I used to be nearly obese, diabetic, chronic pain, depression, all of that stuff, because I'm from the Midwest and I grew up on a really bad diet of basically dead cows and milk and cheese and pizza and things like that. So, you know, I turned my life around with nutrition. And I began sharing that with other people, and that's become my mission, is to educate people. Now we're reaching well over 1 million people a month on naturalnews.com, and I love helping to share that information with people, change people's lives.
So you've, not, I would say recently, but recently you've kind of moved into a almost primarily or primarily plant-based diet. What are some of the changes that you decided to make, and why did you decide to do them?
Well, I've been on mostly a plant-based diet for several years, but it was really more into the living foods that's been in the last couple of years. I went down to the Tree of Life, and I met with Gabriel Cousins a couple of years ago, and then I met David Wolf, and I started getting into raw foods and embracing that. And as that happened, I began to notice some significant performance improvements in my life. For example, language. You know, I live part-time in South America now, and when I was in college, living on junk foods and animal foods and dead foods, I tried to learn Spanish, and I found it virtually impossible to learn Spanish. I mean, I did, you know, 3 years of Spanish, couldn't speak a word. But now, because I'm on raw foods and I'm taking superfoods and nutritional supplements and juicing every single day, I'm learning Spanish like that. And I speak Chinese now, too. So I got three languages going. Mm-hmm. I count English as one of them.
Yes.
Three languages going. And I find that I can learn very, very quickly. I can remember things better. And also, you know, your big picture view of what's happening in the world really expands when you get on living foods. There's something about the plants and the energy of the plants that opens your mind. I mean, literally, it opens your mind and allows you to see the bigger picture. And that's when you really start to have the breakthroughs in your life, professionally, with relationships, with performance, with even attracting wealth and abundance and health and philosophy, spirituality, all of these things come in when you have that connection with the universe through raw living foods.
Yeah. And when you talk about your own transition, like what did you go through and what were some of the things that you shed? Because I know that you were eating fish for a while and like it was very hard for you to shed that. What were some of the decisions that you went through to actually get that down and say, hey, this, I don't need this anymore?
Yeah, well, I used to be hypoglycemic, and I would use protein as a way to balance blood sugar.
Okay.
So I used to eat a lot of sugar, and I would just eat protein with it, and thinking, well, that's okay, now it's all fine. I kept on eating fish for a long time because I thought that I needed that protein. I'm a type O blood type, which tends to have a little more protein need. I'm very physically active, so I work out a lot, and I do cardio exercises quite a bit, so I actually sort of need a lot of dietary protein. So I thought I needed fish. I wasn't going to touch red meat. I don't eat mammals, period. If I'm in a very desperate situation, I might eat some chicken, even today if I'm traveling in a desperate situation, but it's a last resort. I usually load up on all kinds of raw mm-hmm. foods so I don't have to run into that situation. But I was finally able to get off of fish too and get to a 100% plant-based diet. And Sun Warrior protein really helped me do that.
Yeah.
And now there are some great proteins on the market that are plant-based, that have a really great amino acid profile, that give you all the protein you need. You can still work out. You can do strength training. You can be a very physically strong individual on a 100% plant-based diet. And that's what I do right now. The only exceptions are when I travel and I can't get 100% plant-based, I'll do some fish or I'll do some seafood. But it's only, last option in those cases. And when you go to South America, sometimes you're stuck. You got to eat what's there.
Yeah. And you're a researcher. So what's some of the information that you've come across in terms of plant-based protein versus animal-based protein? Because I think it's important that we kind of like nail down why we're doing this, and that there's multiple reasons. Maybe we can go through all of them, but what are some of the...
Gosh, there are so many reasons. There's first the biochemical approach, which is, okay, the meat from animals is contaminated, really, with all of these chemicals that are injected into the animals and the growth hormones and all of these things, even in the animal feed. I mean, if you look at what they feed cattle, you'd be astonished. It is legal in this country to feed cattle chicken poop. I mean, that's USDA approved. You can look it up on their website. That's an approved use of chicken poop. Feed it to the cattle. So, I mean, you're eating cow meat. You have no idea what went in to create that meat. And that's just the physical or biochemical level. Then there's the energetic level, which is, you know, what was the experience of that cow? And so what is imprinted into the meat? What kind of energies? Now, suppose you don't even believe that, because some people don't, and I didn't used to. Suppose you don't even believe that. Well, think about just the hormones. The fear hormones, when the cow is slaughtered, there's a burst of fear hormones that go throughout the cow's tissues and actually get embedded in the meat. So when you eat the meat, you're also eating the fear hormones at the moment of death, or even the torture that the cow went through or the pig went through leading up to that moment. You know, you are what you eat. And if you bring that kind of energy and those hormones and those contaminants into your body, you're going to become fearful and aggressive, and you're going to be depressed. And look at America today. You know, it's a country that is steeped in fear. And they're pushing fear all the time, you know, through the news and through war and through the foods. So we are a nation of fear. And what we need to get to is a nation of connection, of peace, of less stress, of realizing, hey, everything's okay. Let's eat some plants. Let's not kill a bunch of animals. And then we can chill out. We can get along better with each other and with our neighbors, and we will be healthier from the inside out too. So there's so many reasons to choose plant-based protein. And we just scratched the surface right there.
The environmental impact of it is pretty substantial too, right?
Another huge reason. I mean, even it was one of the chief scientists of the United Nations just came out a couple of weeks ago and said, look, if you want to live in a sustainable world, people, you got to eat less meat. This is from the UN. Wow. I've never heard anyone from the UN say that before. And of course, the meat industry was in an uproar. No, everybody needs to eat more meat because it makes them money. Well, the truth is the environment can't take it. You're going to destroy this environment if everybody keeps pursuing a meat-based diet like we pursued in the United States. If people in China and India and Indonesia and all around the world eat that much meat, the environment's going to be destroyed.
So when you were getting into raw foods, who were some of your mentors? Who did you kind of follow, and what did you learn from them?
Oh, wow. Well, Gabriel Cousins is who I learned from.
Yeah.
I went to the tree. They invited me there as a health journalist.
Okay.
So I was actually there for 3 or 4 days as a guest and new to it all. And I began to eat their foods and interview people and be part of that culture. And it was instantly enlightening. You know, just a huge turn on.
Because
I thought raw foods before that, I thought it was superfood blended in my Vitamix, which I had been doing for many years, and salads. I didn't know it could be all this great cuisine.
Yeah.
You know, like the best food in the world is actually raw food. I had no idea that was the case. So that turned me on to that, and since then, you know, never looked back. Now I'm pursuing raw foods restaurants everywhere I go. Like you see it. Wherever I go, I'm looking for restaurants, and I'll bring my video camera and try to do an interview with them if they're up for that, too. Because raw foods, it's the answer. It's the answer to personal health and, in fact, global health.
So you're that convinced?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no question, man. Yeah. I mean, you see people who get onto raw foods, and they turn around. If they used to have cancer, the cancer is gone. If they had diabetes, the diabetes is gone. I mean, I talked to a woman who was on a liver transplant list, and she was one of our readers. She went on raw foods, and she was doing some of the superfoods that I recommended. She got off the transplant list and then went on to run a marathon.
Are you serious?
I mean, you know, conventional medicine was ready to cut her open and take out her liver and install a new liver and keep her on all these drugs for her whole life and charge her, you know, $800,000 for this procedure. She did it for, you know, a few thousand dollars worth of organic food.
Wow.
And bypassed all that pain and misery and debt.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Now, what do you think about 100% raw as opposed to 80%, as opposed to 50%? What's the deal?
I think people get a little crazy with these numbers. It's not a competition, folks.
Yeah. I win.
Yeah, right. I'm not even, I'm like 70% raw.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll be 60, sometimes it'll be 80. Like here at the event, it's probably like 90, maybe 95, who knows? It doesn't matter. What matters is that you get some raw with every meal. That's what matters. In fact, I eat a lot of quinoa. You know, I boil some quinoa, I'll put in some onions in it, I'll make a nice warm soup, put some ginger in there. That is very, very good for you. And I also think that the principles of Eastern medicine, Chinese medicine in particular, have a lot of merit in this area. And if you live in a cold climate, and maybe you need some warmth in your body, you might need some warm soup. Even if it's just light soup, quinoa and onions and sea salt. You know, that's all you need. Warm soup. Get it into your body. It warms you. And then you can follow that with some raw foods, and you're going to be healthier. If you're walking around and you have cold feet, cold hands, cold butt, and you're just cold all the time, you shouldn't be chugging raw foods all day long. You need some warmth. Get some warm ginger soup in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great to hear that, because there is the Chinese medicine and the Ayurvedic principles that have been around for, you know, a lot longer than say a Western type diet principle.
Yeah.
And they do mention either cooked foods or you know, half and half or the yin and yang kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a big believer in using some cooked vegetables, like stir-fried beans, just lightly stir-fried, or steamed broccoli or steamed tomatoes. You know, and nutritionally, a lot of nutrients are unlocked by that steaming process. But I would never cook fruit or nuts or seeds. Those things always need to be eaten raw, in my opinion. And you also need raw vegetables in parallel with the cooked vegetables.
Yeah.
And just remember this too, anything you eat cooked doesn't have the phytonutrients intact. So you're losing the natural medicine when it's cooked, and you're losing some of the proteins when it's cooked. So you need to be cognizant of your total diet and put together a recipe that works for you based on your body type, your climate even. If you're living up in Minnesota, you need some warm food, I believe. Mm-hmm. And you can't do 100% raw there. I live in the desert, you know, in Tucson or South America sometimes, and I'm in a warm climate. I don't even do 100% raw. I still eat warm foods from time to time.
Yeah. And now, do you suggest that someone goes out and figures their body type through like a Western medicine type thing, like a blood type or a, you know, a protein or anything like that? Or do you think it's kind of like a intuitive kind of feel it out kind of way?
Yeah, it's more of just a feedback loop.
Okay.
Is to, first of all, be aware of your body so that you can communicate with your body. So get off the painkillers and the psychiatric drugs and the rec drugs, whatever. Get off the drugs, all right, so you can actually hear what your body's telling you. Then start doing some different food experiments. Like try 100% raw for 3 days and see what happens. And then adjust and fine-tune. You know, this is one of the things in the raw foods industry that I really want to point out to people. Is you should never just follow one guru. You know, one person says that everybody should do this. Nah, that's not true. That's true for some people, but not everybody. You got to listen to you and find out what's right for your body and make that work for you. I mean, that's what it's really about. This is an individualized approach to living. It's not one size fits all, and it's not one diet fits all.
Yeah, and each person is at different levels. I mean, you know, their digestion's different.
Yeah.
Whether it's impaired or it's, you know, spectacular, everything, their bowels are moving differently. I mean, it's all pretty unique.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, most people have embraced this idea that they need to be disconnected from their body through pharmaceuticals. So if you have pain, what do you take? A painkiller. You know, what does the painkiller do? It isolates you from the message of the pain, which is an important teaching message that says, oh, maybe you should stop playing football for the next 3 hours and actually let yourself heal, you know? And people do that with depression or ADD, and they take psych drugs, which block the messages from the mind. You know, your mind is actually trying to tell you something. You need to listen to it and heal from the inside out and not just mask the symptoms. So if you're in tune with your body, and then you start pursuing a raw foods diet or a superfood diet or a vegan or a vegetarian diet, whatever you're pursuing, then you'll get the information that you need to make adjustments, and you'll get yourself on the right track.
I think that's an important point, and the reason being is recently I had an acne breakout on my forehead, and a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, get out in the sun, rub something topically on it, and I was like, but it's internally. Something's happening internally that's causing it to manifest, and I think that what you're saying is to switch into that type of mindset, more of a detective type.
Yeah, you do have to be your own detective, absolutely. In fact, it's a great idea to keep a food log. You know, really write down what you're eating. Just bring that level of conscious awareness to your food. It has many beneficial effects in addition to just like troubleshooting what's working and what's not working. It also forces you to have better decisions, because if you write down everything you eat, you're probably not going to write down an entire pack of Oreo cookies, you know, because people fool themselves very, very easily. You know, I've done it. We've all done it before. You think you can, like, eat an entire bag of Doritos or a dozen donuts, which I used to actually eat before I got healthy. I would eat a dozen donuts, and then it would kind of, like, throw away the box, get rid of the evidence. I didn't really eat that.
Yeah.
You know, people do that. Yeah. But you're not fooling anybody because,
yeah,
you know, you are what you eat. So the evidence shows,
yeah,
you know. But a food log helps you stay honest with yourself about what you're really eating.
Now, you're a prolific journalist, and what I want to know is, I kind of want to know some of your experiences. What do you think are some of the, I would say, the most shocking, well, we'll start with shocking experiences that you've heard, or you've heard from other people who have been, I want to switch the tide here, who have been in situations where they have been prosecuted or kind of called out for their beliefs in terms of natural medicine.
The stories, unbelievable number of stories, and most of them I could never print. A lot of people are being prosecuted today. Companies, and the reason I can't print them is because these companies are afraid of the FDA.
Okay.
Or they're afraid of the medical board. I mean, there are even famous people in this industry, I'm not going to name names because of this, have told me in confidence that they are being prosecuted. There's one MD that's very famous in this industry. He's under investigation by the state board, trying to yank his medical license because he's recommending nutritional supplements. Mm-hmm. And he's a very well-educated, very prolific writer, a very positive force in this industry, and he could be put out of business. I have met people in South America who fled the United States because they were raided at gunpoint by the FDA, literally at gunpoint. Came in, there was one clinic that was doing cancer therapy using this advanced stem cell technology.
Okay.
Right? Doesn't even sound that alternative. It's really
actually
kind of,
sounds a little more Western. Yeah.
It's more Western, but they were using stem cells to cure cancer in patients, and they had a huge success rate. The FDA came in with guns drawn. There's actually a budget for handguns in the FDA's budget, and with guns drawn, and they came in and they pulled the IVs out of the patients who were getting anti-cancer therapies right there. And they arrested the owners, they confiscated everything, they threatened them with 30 years in prison. They were able to flee the country. There's another individual that's living in Ecuador right now who was actually put in prison. He did 3 years in federal prison for selling what? An anti-cancer topical salve, the kind that Harry Hoxie created.
Okay.
With bloodroot and zinc and some other natural ingredients. He was prosecuted, put in prison. The FDA destroyed his life. He got out of prison, fled the country, went to South America, where there's a lot of freedom now, mm-hmm. and now is recreating his business from South America. And he can ship you the cancer products from South America, but not from inside the United States. Now, I see this thing. I see this kind of thing going on because I'm outside the country a lot.
Right.
And because I have so much trust and connection with the people in the industry, they will tell me stories that are true that they would never dare say publicly. But what's going on out there, folks, is that the FDA is running an extortion racket. They will go to a company, they will threaten them with imprisonment or jail time if they don't pay the FDA millions of dollars. It's an extortion racket. It is organized crime. It should be prosecuted under the RICO Act. You know the RICO Act, R-I-C-O? It was created to prosecute mobs.
Okay.
It was all for organized crime. The FDA is operating in precisely the definition of organized crime that law was set up to counter.
Right.
If we really had a Department of Justice in this country, they would march into the offices of the FDA and the FTC and the USDA, and they would arrest those criminals and they would try them for their crimes. Hmm. And I would love to write the story on that.
Wow. It's almost unreal to hear this sort of stuff. Even sitting here and knowing you and knowing your reputation, it's almost weird to hear this. I mean, what can you say to someone to, like, even more so to convince them that this is the truth? I mean, this is really...
what do I say? Well, if you think you're living in a free country, folks, you're living in a dream world. Yeah, you're in the Matrix. You know, look, I have nothing to gain financially from telling the truth on these topics. Yeah. Absolutely nothing to gain. And I've never earned a dime from recommending or covering nutritional products or any of the companies I've ever recommended. So you got to ask, well, you know, who is really trying to make money by lying to you? The drug companies. Yeah. They are lying to you. The cancer industry is lying to you. You know, the American Cancer Society won't teach women how to prevent cancer. Yeah. Neither will the Susan Komen racket and the pink ribbon, the whole scam. It's all a fraud, in my opinion, and I've documented why. Because they enslave women in a system of fear and of medical intoxication, where the women are poisoned and physically maimed. They've got women scared to the point where women are now having double mastectomies. They're having their breasts removed, and they don't even have cancer. They're doing it as a prevention measure. It's insane. It's barbaric. It should be criminal. But that's what's really happening in this country. If we wanted to help women and empower women, which I really believe in doing, we would give them information. We would teach them how to prevent cancer so that they don't have this disease, so that they can grow up with their children and with their families. You know, in the history of America, women were often treated as a subclass of citizens. They were kept ignorant, right? And not even allowed to go to universities for a long, long time, not allowed to vote. That's the way the medical industry treats women today. Wants to keep them trapped, barefoot, pregnant, diseased, on chemotherapy, and completely unaware of the natural cures that exist today. I mean, the industry is sexist against women, and it's racist against blacks, by the way, because they don't teach black people about skin pigmentation and the need for extra sunshine so they can get vitamin D to prevent cancer. And this is why breast cancer is so much more aggressive in black women, or African American women, if you want to use that term, and why prostate cancer is more aggressive in black men, because the industry is lying to them. I'm one of the few people telling the truth to these individuals, to women and black men, black women, and people of all races, of all nationalities, telling them the truth about how you can overcome and cure cancer and not be a victim, not be trapped in the system of medical treatment where you end up broke and dead.
Yeah.
You know?
You get a lot of information on a daily basis. How do you filter it to, you know, find out what's really the truth and what might be a spun story?
Oh, it's very easy to do that. You know, I've written, I don't know, 2,000 articles now, and I've scanned tens of thousands of headlines, and I do it every day. I'm constantly doing it. My laptop is right here. Yeah. Like, when we finish this, I'm doing that. You know, so you get to understand the sources and how things are always spun in mainstream media. For example, you can look at a headline and you know exactly the real story behind it. There was a headline last week that said, vitamin linked to mental decline.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, what does that headline mean to most people? It would say, oh, the vitamin causes mental decline, right? No, the research said that vitamin B12 deficiency was linked to mental decline. But they changed the headline to say that the vitamin was linked to mental decline. So when I read that, I know that they have turned it completely around. They are intentionally trying to mislead people. And I think that headline was on the BBC's website, by mm-hmm. the way. But USA Today, Washington Post, New York Times, I've seen them all engage in direct misinformation that looks to be intentional. And I know the truth behind the headlines. Like when they say, like every year they come out with a study that says vitamin E will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
It's an annual thing. It's like it's the National Vitamin E Will Kill You Month, you know? and then they just run the same old research every year. Well, I counter that every year, and I tell people the truth about it. All those studies were done on synthetic vitamin E, and they selectively removed people from the studies who lived.
Okay.
So they focused the study on the people who died. Well, gee, of course the results are going to show people died because that's who they included.
Right.
So it's a complete hogwash. Mainstream media is nutritionally illiterate and scientifically just completely uneducated. They don't know how science works. They don't know how logic works. They don't know anything about nutrition. And if you get your information from mainstream media sources, you are going to live a life of extreme deception.
Right.
That's why I love doing what I'm doing. You go to Natural News, you're going to get the real deal. You're going to find out real information. And that's why we're popular. That's why you're popular, Kevin, because you're putting the real truth out there. People are hungry for it. And it's about time that folks like us were doing this.
And so, but I don't want you to give up your sources here, but where are you finding the inside track? You know, where...
Well, I've developed a lot of relationships over the years. So people will send me documents. People will call me with tips. I'll have companies, sometimes companies that are being prosecuted will email me and they'll link me to a document, a public document that the FDA has filed against them, but it's buried somewhere and no one would know about it unless you knew where to look.
Right.
So I'll get my hands on those kinds of things and then I'll do the investigation and I'll run with those stories. But it's because I'm trusted by those in the industry. They know that I'm in this for the right reasons, which is I really believe in saving lives, I believe in protecting life, I believe in ending human suffering, and I believe in taking down the criminal medical industry that exists today. Mm-hmm. If you want to summarize what I believe in and why I'm doing it, that's why. And you didn't ask me this, Kevin, but I'll volunteer it. One of the reasons is because I watched my own family members die of cancer with conventional chemotherapy treatments. Three men in my family died of cancer, and the cancer didn't kill them. I watched. I was there at their bedside when they died, and they were killed by the chemotherapy and the drugs. I know that they could be alive today. If I had known then what I know now about raw foods and superfoods and phytonutrients, I know they could be alive today. Yeah. Absolutely without question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you think, and just on that note, what do you think is the best way to introduce that to someone who may not know about it at all and may be a little bit opposed to eating something that's a little bit different or maybe even green?
This is very good.
It's the reality. It's the reality. A lot of us want to help people and we just don't know how to.
Well, I have a new process that, in fact, it may have been you who shared this with me. I didn't invent it. That when someone is about to go to a conventional cancer doctor, I now encourage them to ask the cancer doctor for one success story. Name one person they've ever cured of cancer that's alive and healthy today.
Huh.
It's like, you know, when you hire an employee, you want their resume. You want to know what their successes have been. If you go invest your money with a financial advisor, you want them to have a track record of making money, not losing money. So when you go to a doctor, you should really ask for the same information. You should be an intelligent consumer. I'm now encouraging people to do that. And the people that are asking those questions are coming back and saying, well, my doctor couldn't give me one person that they helped. Well, then why would you go to that doctor?
Yeah.
Why would you go follow another, you know, the 1,000 people that doctor has already killed? You want to be 1,001?
Yeah.
If you make that choice, go for it. Go for it. Because, you know, you're going to win the Darwin Award. You know, the gene pool does not need people like that around who want to commit suicide with the help of chemotherapy doctors. That's physician-assisted suicide is what it really is. If you want to be alive, you want to be healthy and empowered, you have to fire all those doctors. Literally just tell them to go away. You don't do a hybrid approach. That's bullshit, you know. Hybrid approach, I'm going to do some chemotherapy and some superfoods. Bullshit. You're going to die if you do that. You need to get rid of the poison and bring in the nutrients if you want to live. And you can tell, you know, I don't censor my speech about this topic. People got to make a choice if they want to live or die. I want to live, and that's why I'm doing foods and raw foods. Other people, they have a death wish. I cannot interrupt their death process, even though I try.
Yeah.
But many people just want to die. And if you want to do that, go get chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Happened very quickly.
And in a lot of people, a lot of stories that I've heard and you've heard as well, is that people will get some sort of diagnosis from a doctor, get the information, say, hey, you've got this much to live.
Yeah.
And they go and they do the natural approach. And they live for, you know, 16 or 20 some odd years, you know, even with the most advanced types. It's amazing.
Well, first of all, the whole like you have 6 months to live thing,
that's
total fear-based marketing. It's completely fraudulent. most of the diagnoses that are handed out by cancer doctors are false.
Yeah.
False. Even the conventional studies show that 10 women are harmed by mammography for every one woman that's even helped by it. And that's from conventional medicine. That was published in a peer-reviewed medical journal.
Wow.
Because 9 out of 10 of the diagnoses are false. But they scare women into these treatments. And, you know, I'm about empowering women and bringing them out of fear and into a place of empowerment where they can live instead of dying. Yeah. You know, I mean, it sounds so fundamental. It sounds almost obvious. But people get ensnared in the symbols of authority in medicine, and they believe the doctor and his white coat and his degree and, you know, his authority, and it's all false.
Yeah.
It's just deception.
Wow, that's a little heavy here. Let's turn the tide a little bit. I want to talk about products.
Yeah.
You spend a lot of time reviewing products, and what are some of the best ones out there? Let's go right into it. What are a few of the best ones that you really feel strongly about?
Health Force, yeah. A company by Jameis Sheridan, those are some of the best products. I'm a big advocate of Sun Food, you know, David Wolf's company and their product line. There are many, many superfood products on the market. There's Boku Superfood that I recommend. There's Emerald Balance. There's a company called Sprout Living that has a new Sproutine product made from, it's a protein made from sprouts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. In fact, I just got a sample of it last night, the first sample. No one's even heard about the product yet.
Okay.
And I just tasted it this morning in my smoothie. It's fantastic. If you go out and you actively try to find superfood products, it's very easy.
Right.
Go to any health food store, look for the superfood products, get the ones that are really green and that have berries in them, and you're going to find a wealth of products available to you. It's just an endless... I mean, we live in a time of great abundance now. You can cure cancer now using stuff off the shelf at the store, literally. That's not an exaggeration at all. You know, there are books written about anti-cancer foods, and some of the most powerful anti-cancer nutrients are berries, resveratrol, turmeric, which is, you know, the root that's used to make curry, and I'll tell you a fact about that that's fascinating. Chocolate is also anti-cancer, and the cruciferous vegetables. If you drink even 1 ounce of broccoli juice every day, and you combine that with some green tea, some vitamin D, a little bit of zinc, some turmeric and black pepper, berries from time to time, you will never get cancer, ever, because it cannot grow in that environment. The way you get cancer is if you become vitamin D deficient for a long period of time, like during the winter when people aren't getting sunlight, or if they're using sunscreen products, and you're not bathing your cells in the anti-cancer nutrients from cruciferous vegetables, you know, onions, garlic as well, in addition to cruciferous, cauliflower, broccoli, those kinds of things. That's how you get cancer. If you want to grow cancer in lab rats in the lab, the recipe is very simple. Vitamin D deficiency, nutrient deficiency, processed food, chemicals in the food. You'll get cancer like that. If you want to reverse cancer, you just turn all that around. Get lots of vitamin D, lots of nutrients, eliminate the toxic chemicals, the cancer is gone. This is not complicated. Cancer is not complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very easy. I know a Chinese doctor practicing in Florida. I actually went and visited. And he says, you know, curing cancer is easier than curing the common cold.
Right.
And he cures cancer all the time. I'm talking about stage 4 patients.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's happening all the time. It's not a secret anymore, Kevin. People are being cured of diabetes and heart disease and cancer and depression and obesity and all of these things every single day by turning to raw foods.
How does someone find these places? What, if they have a cancer, how do they find the people? Because they're not advertising themselves,
yeah,
right?
I know. Well, this is part of it is that they're all being suppressed, and,
right.
And some of them are being raided and they have to flee the country. I wish there was one like resource you could go online and find the best practitioners in your area.
Yeah.
I don't know of one like that, but the best thing to do is to get involved in the natural health community in your area.
Yeah.
Go to the health food stores, go to the meetups, and start asking around, because this happens by word of mouth. That's the best way to find who's really curing cancer in your area.
Yeah. When you're looking at products, what are you looking for in the company? What are some of the criteria that you... Because you put your seal, the Natural News seal, on a lot of things. Like, what does it take to have that seal. And after this, you're probably going to have a lot of people, you know, saying, hey, I have all these things. But
I want to let you know, too, that seal, we don't make money on the seal. We don't charge people. It's an award seal, like Editor's Choice Award on certain products that we give that to. Well, I'm looking for a couple of things. Not only what's in the product itself, because I look very carefully at the ingredients, but then I meet the founder of the company. And I'm looking for personal integrity. I'm looking for whether that person lives a natural health lifestyle. Mm-hmm. People like Jameth Sheridan, very healthy individual, really into healthy living. That counts a lot as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Because I don't think that you can sell health products if you're an individual running a company who isn't healthy. Like I'm at the trade shows all the time, and there's this one company I'm not going to name, but they have these super fruit juices. You know, it says acai juice on the front, and you look at the ingredients, and it's 95% fructose and water.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of juice in it. You taste it, and you're like, what is it, citric acid and sugar? You know, you can't even taste the fruit.
Yeah.
And a lot of consumers don't know what these fruits are supposed to taste like, so they don't know if they're drinking the real thing. But the guy running that company is this, like, obese, grumpy New Yorker with bad skin and smoking cigarettes outside the show. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to recommend that.
Yeah.
I have no interest in recommending that. There are products on the market today that are junk. There are a lot of junk products. There are a lot of bad vitamins that I would not recommend. Mainstream brands made with synthetic chemicals. It's just like pharmaceuticals. But there's a lot of great stuff on the market as well. And that's what I recommend on Natural News. So I do product recommendations on a regular basis, product reviews all the time. And I'm always trying to give people the latest and greatest products that are out there. And, you know, you want real vitamins. North American Urban Spice,
yeah.
You know, Purely C. It's a food-based vitamin C product. They have a food-based vitamin E product. There's so many companies out there that have so many great products. If you just look, just spend a few minutes looking, you'll find a wealth of solutions.
Yeah. What are some of we talked about Gabriel being a very influential person. What are some of the most influential books that you kind of turn back to from time to time? Everyone has a few books that they kind of read all the time. What are some of those that you turn back to? They don't have to be health either.
I don't read books twice. Because my book reading list is very long, so yeah. I'm still working through it. Yeah. One of the first books I read that really got me turned on was by Elson Haas, believe it or not. I love to read the newsletters, Jonathan Wright's newsletter, which I love to read, Dr. David Williams. I've read Dr. Julian Whitaker for years and years, and some people have said that I really reflect his approach to health freedom, which is very outspoken, you know, not censored at all. Mm-hmm. I read it from a lot of different sources. The authors, like Bruce Lipton, is an author that I really enjoy reading lately. You know, his books, Biology of Belief.
Yeah, it's incredible.
We've got that on healthbooksummaries.com. Go get that, folks. Get that download. I don't really have one or two mentors. And I never really found one person that I wanted to model. I always found wisdom from a lot of different people and was able to just sort of put that together and move forward in whatever my own personal mission was. And I know this wasn't your question, but the refinement of my own personal mission has become so simple lately, which is simply to protect sustainable life. Hmm. That's what my mission has become. And, you know, there are books by John Robbins that influence that mission. You know, all kinds of authors. But if you look at everybody who's writing about green living and protecting the environment and natural health, in my view, it all comes back to that simple principle, which is to protect sustainable life. And in that, I don't mean just human life. I don't limit my honoring of life to just humans. In fact, I think that plant life and natural life is maybe even more important than human life on our planet. And humans, we need to be more humble, and we need to live in harmony with the other life on our planet and stop thinking that we can dominate life. So in fact, and this is something we can talk about more, but human life, I think, is due to decrease mm-hmm. on this planet for several reasons. Some of it could just be from an inability to reproduce, because the genetic code of consumers who are eating cooked foods and contaminated foods, their genetic code is becoming compromised. And we're going to have a generation real soon now that won't be able to reproduce. So we're going to see an implosion or a drastic reduction of human population on our planet. And the future of human life on our planet belongs to the raw foodies. It really does, because they're the ones who can protect the integrity of their own genetic code.
Okay.
Think about that for a minute. If you want to have great-great-grandchildren, you need to protect your genetic code today. Because if you mess up your genes, that gets passed on. And if you do that generation after generation, pretty soon, you either have mutants or you have no babies at all.
Yeah.
And I don't know anybody who wants mutants as great-great-grandchildren.
No. you talk about it as a reproductive issue.
Yeah.
Which is a lot more stomachable, if that's a word, than some sort of outbreak.
Yeah.
You know, and so that to me makes me feel a little bit better because your research has done that. But I mean, what is the threat of some sort of outbreak? What's the threat of, you know, viral things that we just don't have any sort of solution to?
There are huge threats to human civilization and the global population right now. One of those, as you point out, is a pandemic outbreak. That's a big threat because, number one, people have compromised immune systems. So if there is a virus that breaks out, it's going to spread like wildfire through the population. And once again, you know who the survivors are going to be? The raw foodies, because their immune systems work.
Right.
And they're not vaccinated, so they're not compromised. So all those children out there that got vaccinated are being compromised. Their immune systems are actually being weakened by the vaccines, not strengthened, weakened.
Right.
Also, conventional medicine is useless to stop a rapidly spreading virus in the wild,
right,
because the virus mutates. The vaccines can't keep up with the mutation. We saw this with the bird flu vaccines, which are a complete joke. The hospitals will be completely overrun. Within days, the hospitals will tell people, go home and die. And they will. They will go home and die. And the survivors will be the people who turn to nature. Because I can tell you this, you can go out into the backyard right here in Arizona, and we can pick 3 or 4 herbs here that can kill any virus. And the people who know that will live. The people who don't know that will die. Knowledge will save lives or determine who dies. That's why it's important to be empowered with knowledge.
Right.
It's also, in a karmic kind of sense, it's very interesting that the people who embrace a dissociation from nature, who embrace synthetic artificial medicine, will in fact die if that scenario happens. And I'm not the one saying this, but some people have said to me that's quite fitting for them. They have, in essence, dug their own graves. I consider it just kind of a karmic thing. You know, if you get so arrogant that you forget where you came from, that you're of this world and of this earth, mm-hmm. and that Mother Nature is really your teacher, then you might not live very long if something like that happens. There's also another situation, which is massive starvation, because we have food supply problems, and we have our crops being grown in ways that are not sustainable and that are very subject to blights. So, you know, every corn plant being grown in this country has the same genetic code. And one fungus or one virus could wipe out the entire corn crop. And then we have climate change affecting crops. So we have a food sustainability problem in this world. We have soil erosion. We're losing soil. Mm. You know, the topsoil is disappearing by an inch a year in many places in America. What are you going to do when the soil runs out? What are you going to do when the fossil water runs out and you can't pump water up out of the ground to water the crops? What are you going to do? Well, I can tell you what you're going to do. You're going to starve. You know, you're going to starve to death unless you know how to survive. And that's coming.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist,
yeah.
Which is that it's no big deal. Just empower yourself with knowledge. Learn how to grow your own food, how to have a water supply, how to cure infectious disease with herbs. And it's no big deal. You'll survive it, you'll thrive, and you'll be here for the next society that comes after that, which can be a much better world than the one we live in today.
Yeah. One thing that I always kind of talk about, and I have no idea about the answer to this, but I kind of want to know your thoughts on it. If people decide to stop getting vaccines, and even people who are eating a standard American diet type thing, doesn't that cause a challenge for the people who aren't who are eating healthy as well with healthy immune systems? Because wouldn't that anything break out inside of that community?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right. Yeah, the fact is that the poor health of mainstream consumers is a threat to the safety of those who actually take care of their own health. You're exactly right. Well, so it just means that those of us who are conscious about health have to be that much more vigilant in terms of our nutrition and our use of herbs and natural remedies to overcome infectious disease. Yeah. And we have to do our best to try to teach people. You know, I don't abandon other people and say, you know, too bad, see you later, go off and die. No, I'm like, hey, you want to learn? You want to learn how to live? You want to have a sustainable life and protect your family and future generations? Here's how you do it. And I'll give you this information for free. Now, some people don't want that. Those are the people who want to go off and die. That's their choice. You know, I'm a big believer in free choice. Even if people choose to compromise their own lives, that's their choice. Yeah. You know, it's fine. If people want to bungee jump off a bridge with a really long bungee cord, a little too long, that's their choice. What do I care? You know? I care about human beings, and I care a lot about ending human suffering, so I do my best. But I've reached the point where I recognize that many people are not ready for the message.
Yeah.
You know, they're not ready. And I'm not going to waste my time and effort to try to convert people into this philosophy of life and abundance and health if they're not ready for that. People will come to it as they are ready. And some people will make the leap and they'll join us in the future world, you know, in the next world, the sustainable world. And some people won't make the leap and their genes will be removed from the gene pool within a few generations. Yeah. You know, it's cause and effect, man.
How do you, being a compassionate person, as I know you are, how do you, what made you say, okay, I have to just not be, I just have to accept that as it is?
Because you have to use your time wisely. So you have to realize that, hey, I could spend 5 hours debating with some idiot over here who just has a death wish, or I could spend the same amount of time writing a special report that could reach 1 million people about nutrients and celery, you know, or something. So you have to think about your time. How do you use your time wisely to help the greatest number of people? Yeah. And that means going after those who are ready to listen. That's what I've learned. So I do not spend time with people who want to argue with me. I have no interest in arguing with anybody. You know, it's just a waste of time. And besides, they're arguing with information, you know, that may have been state-of-the-art in the 1960s,
right,
but it's no longer state-of-the-art. And you can't, you know, like, you can't teach people who are ignorant and illiterate if they just want to argue with you. You have to educate them and bring them up to a level where they can have some understanding. And that's where I try to reach them. If they're ready for information and they're ready to embrace a new future for themselves and their world, that's where I reach them. And fortunately, you know, reaching 1 million people now with that message. And I believe that our group, the Natural News Readers, really do represent the future of human civilization. We are the kind of people who are going to be here. We're the problem solvers. We're the ones who can live in harmony. We're the ones who respect Mother Nature, who have respect for life, for animals, for plants. We are the kind of people who can actually live sustainably on this planet. I don't want that to sound cult-like or anything. It's not like a UFO coming to pick us up.
Right. No.
No, we're here. We're here to stay.
Yeah. Know? We're grounded.
Yeah. We're like gardening, you know. We're juicing our herbs.
Yeah.
We have animals as companions. You know, we respect the rivers and the oceans, and you know, we want to live in a clean world, in a non-chemically contaminated world. And we want to create a new society, because I think this current society is ending, or it's being transformed in a rather violent, maybe not so much violent, but tumultuous kind of way. And the next society needs to be led by people who are more progressive thinkers. And those are the kind of people who are attracted to Natural News. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
It's not a cult. We're like,
There's not even a get-together.
We don't even have a meeting place, you know? We don't have our own wardrobe.
Yeah, that's one of the qualifications, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the hemp and the, you know, maybe there is hemp. A wardrobe.
But you don't have to give us all your money, like, to be part of our group.
Yeah.
All you have to do is read and learn. That's it.
I admire the fact that you're so vocal. And what have you switched on in your head to just allow you to have the freedom to just say what you want?
Well, because life is short, man, and there's not time to beat around the bush, I say.
Yeah.
You know, life is very short. The human lifespan is just such a minuscule moment in time in terms of the planet. And, you know, I have no interest in trying to appease people. And I don't speak from a point of view of trying to win some election or be popular. I'm here to just to tell my truth and let people deal with it in whatever way they want. If I can help some people, that's great. If I annoy a few other people, that's their baggage, not mine. And a lot of times, actually, I've never actually mentioned this, but a lot of times I realize that what I'm writing may only make sense to, you know, a future generation. A lot of what I'm writing is so far, like, beyond mainstream thinking that people today think I'm nuts. But 25 years from now, after some of this stuff happens, people will say, oh yeah, like, Mike was right on track. And sometimes I'm writing for that group. You know, even after I'm gone, I want my work to be just a part of the dialogue that helped us create a better world. You know, that's really important to me. And so I don't write for today's consumers. I'm not writing for Joe Blow down there shopping at the grocery store buying frozen ice cream for his toddlers.
Yeah.
Because that guy is not in the future that I'm writing for. He and his family don't exist. They literally don't exist because they won't reproduce.
Yeah. And throughout history, there's always the record of someone being outspoken, being ridiculed, and then suddenly it becoming just, of course, that was the way it was. That's the way it is.
It's so freeing when you no longer tie your own words to the opinions of others. And that's where I am. I'm totally in that space. I have no care in the world for what people think of what I say. My focus is entirely on moving forward in the protection of sustainable life. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's the only thing that motivates me. You know, I mean, my message is totally focused on that point, and people can accept it or not. Fortunately, more and more people accept it. They find that it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, when you see what's happening in the world today, a lot of what I was talking about 3 or 4 years ago has come to pass already. Like, I predicted the financial fallout in the real estate market on the record in 2006, saying it's coming, it's going to devastate the U.S. economy, get out of speculative housing. And people said, oh, you're crazy. Housing is going to go up forever. Okay. Do what you believe, man.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Now, do you ever fear being wrong about something?
No. Okay. And of course, I've been wrong about things. You know, we're wrong about things from time to time. It's no big deal. It's more about the process of continuing to learn. You know, I don't fear being wrong at all. You can never be 100% right. The thing is to just be pointed in the right direction and speak your truth.
Yeah.
And besides, you know, what is right and wrong exactly? You know, I mean, reality shifts depending on whose point of view it is. And, you know, people, we have a lot of readers of our website right now that argue with me about whether climate change is being caused by man. Mm-hmm. And they think I'm completely wrong because I say, you know, burning fossil fuels changes the climate and causes global warming. That makes sense to me. And they argue with me about it. Well, I'm open to the idea that maybe I'm wrong about that. Possibly I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. If I'm wrong about it, I'm glad because I don't want the climate to change. I kind of like the climate the way it is. And if I'm wrong, I'll say so. You know, if 50 years from now we don't have any warming, say, oh, I was wrong about that, man. I totally screwed that one up.
I think that the transparency of that is probably what's valued from your readers. Yeah.
But you know, I'm more right than wrong on issues. In fact, I can't think of a big mistake that I've made in a long, long time in terms of like predicting what's happening. But the funny thing is that, even when you start predicting things that are coming, and when those come true, you don't really get any credibility for the next prediction. People still think your next prediction is crazy, like how I'm predicting the implosion of the human population, the collapse of the food bubble, the water bubble, the oil bubble, and the population bubble. Mm-hmm. These four bubbles will collapse. People hear that now and they think I'm nuts.
Yeah.
But when it's happening, they'll say, oh, okay, yeah, I guess you're right. But they're going to be too busy just trying to survive. They're not going to care about who was right and wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, if you're in the business of making predictions like that, you're never actually, like, no one ever really values that prediction. Because if you're right, then people are too tied up in it to acknowledge it. And if you're wrong, then people are like, aha, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, okay, whatever.
Yeah, you're wrong. You're an idiot.
But my predictions are based on really natural law, which is that we are of this earth, we're of nature, and we must live in harmony with nature. And I will argue to the end that about that, we have to live in harmony with nature or we won't live at all. Yeah. And the earth doesn't need us, humans. The earth would be better off without us. By far.
That's the point, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, if we don't turn things around as human beings, we won't be here. The earth will go on without us. You know.
So what do? We stockpile grains or what?
No, we don't stockpile. We don't stockpile grains. Stockpile seeds.
Seeds, yeah.
Grow your own food, you know. Learn how to grow your own food. Get these basic skills. Learn how to take care of your health. Protect your genetic code by getting into raw foods and doing superfoods and taking care of your nutrition. And then educate yourself. Be empowered. Be educated with information. And be part of the conversation for the next society. So that as things happen, whether there's war or famine or infectious disease or even none of that stuff, no matter what happens, I want you, to be part of that conversation, to stand up and be a leader for the future world. We need healthy people to lead this world. And in fact, one of the principles that I will put forward when the time is right is that no person should ever hold a public office in the future society who is not on a very, very healthy diet. Maybe it's not 100% raw foods or even 100% vegan, but you cannot lead our world if you're eating meat and drinking soda and taking pharmaceuticals. In fact, I think that taking pharmaceuticals should disqualify you from public office, period. Completely disqualify you. I mean, you look at people like Dick Cheney. That guy, I mean, he's sick in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
And his actions reflect the sickness and the disease and the degenerative condition that he has put upon himself. And now he and his cohorts try to bring that to the world. We don't want our leaders to be sick, diseased people anymore. We want our leaders to be healthy, pioneering people. People who have good minds, good spiritual connection, good physical health, good biochemical health. People who aren't afraid to speak their minds and who can lead us into a new, better world. And I will be a strong advocate for that kind of leadership.
Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Kevin.
Thanks for listening to this Rockathon interview. There are 14 others that are just as personal and just as powerful. So please go ahead and keep listening. If you're listening to this and haven't purchased the Rockathon archives yet, you can do so at www.rockathon.com. That's www.rawkathon.com. Again, thanks for listening and have an amazing day.